The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Ski. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, hello, greetings one and all, and happy Yuletide festive salutations to all of you around the world tuning in to this edition of the TWBC podcast. My name is Tony Lightfoot, and glad to have the presence of your company. Now, the person that I have lined up for you this morning, or well, it is the morning here, wherever you happen to tune into this podcast, it'll be a typical a different type of day or what have you. But anyway, enough waffling. The person that I have here is the newly installed editor of the Water Skier magazine that's published in the United States I don't know how many years it's been now, but I mean it's been around donkey's years, and it's preceded every other magazine in the world. So welcome, Todd Rastaselli. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing excellent, Tony. Thanks for having me on.
All right then. So, as I typically ask at this juncture, kind of give us a little bit of an idea of how you got introduced into the great sport of water skiing, and you know, who were your main influences in that regard.
All right. So I got in. My dad partnered with one of his buddies. He bought a Ski Supreme from Dennis Kelly in like 1987, I believe. And I had done it like maybe once before that, like at maybe 11 years old. So I got into it when I was around 13. And Joy Kelly was one of my first coaches. She came out to Bear Lake, and that's in Altamont Springs, about, you know, 13 miles outside of Orlando. And I was on Bear Lake and gave me some ski lessons, fell in love with the sport. Been doing it ever since. I got to ski at UCF. That was a fun experience. Ski with some great skiers like Chris Rossi, Chris Sullivan, Brett Meleitner. We had a good team, and lots of fun experiences along the way.
Indeed. I mean, and yeah, you mentioned Dennis Kelly there, who was previously with Malibu for so many years. I mean, you must have had feelings of shock when that deal kind of happened. What was it, last year or the year before, when he was kind of let go from his long-held position at Malibu?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I was shocked. You know, things, the industry changes. They, you know, these companies, they make moves, and he is a great guy and did a phenomenal job at Malibu. But, you know, the same, you know, similar thing happened with me when I was at Water Ski Magazine. You know, that's just, things change, and I had to step down. And then after, you know, I could see the writing on the wall with the magazine industry, you know, the issues were being cut. You know, we, at one point, Water Ski Magazine was doing 12 issues a year, and then slowly went down to 4 issues. And they're like, hey, do you want to contract these out? And basically I said, no, I think I'll take the severance. But it was fun while it lasted. It was a good gig.
Yes.
18 years.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit, you know, because I mean, you were the last, as it were, one of the last editors of the Water Ski magazine, and the very last edition featured Freddie Winter on the cover, and as my memory recalls. But you know, you mentioned that you were knocking out one issue a month, that kind of stuff, and it came to, and ended up being 4 issues a year, you know. So I mean, kind of tell us a little bit about how you got involved with that gig, and some of the highs and some of the lows that came along with it.
All right. So I was recruited by the group publisher, Dave Freigang. Dave has been in the industry for a long time, water skier. So he knew the sport, understood the sport. And I had some other friends that worked there. Tom James, he was my boss for a while. Worked with Jim Emmons now, who works for WSIA. John McEver was a publisher. And, of course, I don't know, a lot of people have probably heard of Terry Snow.
Yep.
He was the originator. He's the one that got the ball rolling many years ago. Yeah, so I started in 1998. And I was just like, man, this is a really fun gig. Get to travel, test out boats, test skis, and just write about the heroes of the sport.
Ivanhoe was just a few minutes away. You could knock out a set and come back to the office, I'm figuring.
Yes. Yeah. They encouraged my participation. So, yeah, I was out and about in the field. It definitely wasn't, I spent plenty of time in the office to, when I had to. But, a lot of it was traveling and meeting with our marketing partners and learning about their business, what drives them and how we can work together to best serve the greater community.
Okay, and the technology at the time was probably quite ancient to what you're dealing with right now. I mean, back in those days, it was still computerized, a lot of the stuff. But I mean, you're probably dealing with Quark Pro or something like that, to knock out some issues. Today, I think it's a little different. Not even too sure if Quark Pro is even available now, but.
I don't even know what that is, Tony.
Yeah, it's like high-end publishing software type deal. You mean we do the graphic design and what have you? You know what I mean? It was the software you had to have at that time to knock out those editions before Illustrator ever existed.
Apparently, that was before my time.
Okay. Well, anyway, so
well, that's more on the graphics, I guess with the art directors, they would know about that. But I'm just like, I was, writing stories in Word, mm-hmm. And then I would submit it, they'd run it, So, yeah,
probably.
There's a lot of tools out there now, a lot of different software. It's always changing. Obviously, social media has exploded.
Yeah,
people can't take their eyes off their phone, man. Their heads are there. You know what this is doing to people's necks, Tony?
Creaky neck.
Creaky necks. Creaky necks. And you know what water skiing does to your body? It makes it feel good and also bad.
Realignment. Yeah. Realignment therapy.
Yeah. It is really a wonderful, it's a full body workout. It's what makes me feel alive. It's what makes a lot of people feel alive. And, the more I've done it over the years, I'm 50. I'll be 53 in March of 26. And
you're only slightly younger than me.
Yeah. I just have appreciation just for all the different toad water sports that are out there, the different disciplines. Lots of respect for wakeboarders, barefooters, show skiers, the whole deal. It's I think now that I just feel like we're more together, like as a whole of like water people. Like I remember back. Do you remember back in the day, like when wakeboarding came on the tour? There seemed to be some tension and some animosity.
I was front and center with all of that when I was announcing for the pro tour at the time, yeah. the one and only season that I managed to get. But anyway,
and I'm sure there's still some It's like, it's still, I think overall it's improved, What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are, I mean, I'm with you. I mean, the tension and the situation that exists or existed between tournament and wakeboarding has kind of subsided a little bit because they weren't doing each other any favors by going at it like hammer and tongs type deal. But I mean, there's still a little simmering avarice between the two, and I don't think that's really going to change too much in the next season or what have you, or any other seasons beyond that point. I mean, I don't know what your feelings were, but in that last response, you did raise a couple of subjects, and I do have one or two scratch notes here that said mention social media, mention disciplines in water skiing magazine. So we'll do with that latter one a little bit later, you know, because I mean that's always a little bit of a contentious issue whenever it comes to knocking out content on the unique publication that is the Water Skier that serves nine sports disciplines. But we'll table that for the time being, and we'll put a little bit of time towards the end on that one. Social media.
We'll come back to that one for dessert. Okay, save it for dessert.
Yes, indeed. Rather spicy dessert with Tabasco on top. Anyway. Anyway, social media. I mean, it's had a lot. Its impact, I mean, it can't be understated. I mean, social media wasn't even a thing, really. I mean, like 5, 10 years ago, now it's totally exploded, and it's totally shaken up the whole media industry. I mean, and good or bad?
I think it's good. Good, good, good. Yeah, I mean, just think how many eyeballs. Like, for instance, okay, Neely Ross.
Oh.
You know, won her second trick title, world trick title. Beautiful young lady. She's smart. You know, was raised up into an awesome water ski family with Drew being the, you know, former pro skier. And you got her brother, Charlie. I mean, what a great story. And she's, some of her videos that are getting over 10 million views.
Yeah.
On Instagram.
Yeah, she's definitely getting some coin for all of those. I can tell.
She's doing it her way. You know, I interviewed her for a story in the next issue of the Water Skier a couple of weeks ago, and it was a great chat with Neely, and she's you know, optimistic about the future of the sport. She's having her fun doing her thing, and you know, we'll see where we go with it.
Yes, indeed. And she's definitely doing it her own way, and fair play to her. You know, I mean, if she can raise the profile of the sport at the same time, you know, I mean, or fair play to her. I mean, I'm all for that. And you said that you are going to interview, or you have interviewed her for a latest edition of the Water Skier magazine, which... Actually, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because that accelerates the pace a little bit of this podcast, you know, because that brings us right forward onto the Water Skier magazine, you know, because, you know, if I compared this issue, which is the summer 2025 highlight reel, it contains that, and it's got a beautiful shot of Ali Nicholson on the cover.
Now, yeah, that was a good shot.
Yeah, and
Eric Steiner shot that, a buddy of mine.
Yeah, and I know Eric Steiner as well. He's a good guy. He's real cool with the lens. And
he was a back in the day when he was skiing quite a bit and driving, he was a great tournament driver as well.
Yeah, and he probably lends his hand to the wheel on one or two occasions. Not all the time, mind you, but I mean, he's definitely found some talent behind the lens. I can give him that.
Yeah, he's got some big lenses, Tony.
Yes, indeed. Okay, and I'll leave it at that. Anyway,
I'm impressed by his. I'm impressed by his. He's got many lenses.
Yes, you know? Indeed.
Hit it from all different angles at those events.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, let's go to the Water Skier magazine, you know, because it's your gig. It's the thing.
It's a part-time gig.
It's okay. You know, all right. So if it's that much, if it's a part-time gig, so what do you normally do?
I'm a fitness and mindset coach, helping people move, feel, and just, you know, their best.
Swerve Master T.
Swore Master T Fitness. Check me out on Instagram.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
So, but you were asking about the water skier. So, what do you want to know?
All right then. There's plenty I want to know here. You know, because I noticed a little bit of a change in direction with the magazine. It may not be noticeable to a lot of people, but the one thing that kind of stands out a little bit, the first imagery that kind of stands out is on page 31, and you probably have the copy of the magazine in front of you.
I don't. I'm looking at a lake right now, actually.
Okay, you're looking at the lake. Okay.
I'm outside on Lake Conway right now. Beautiful, beautiful Christmas Eve morning, glass calm. The conditions in Orlando right now, it's going to be like near 80 degrees today and okay. Pretty light winds. And then next week, we got to cool down. But anyway, yeah, I'm not looking at the magazine, but describe okay. What you're looking at and what you
I'm
want to know.
I'm looking at that center shot there, the two-page center shot with Ali Nicholson, a beautiful picture there as well. But I also see the picture of Freddie Winter at the top left-hand corner. Now, this magazine, up until the time that you've kind of taken it over from the editorial standpoint, kind of went out of its way to make sure that during its editorial articles that it didn't feature any skiers from outside of the United States. You know, that's the thing that kind of struck me. You know, I turned the page to see Freddie Winter there, which is not unusual in itself. Whenever he's there endorsing, you know, S lines or D3 skis or what have you, you know, but to be in an editorial piece alongside Joel Poland and Hannah Strolzova and Tim Vild and what have you, you know, it's a bit of a change. And how did that get facilitated?
Yeah, I think we should just be open to the, you know, the best athletes in the world. These, you know, no matter where you're from, if you love the sport and you're a good ambassador for the sport, you're tied in with, you know, not only like global brands, but, you know, the U.S. companies that also market in our magazine, like the Mastercrafts and Antiques, you know, S-Lines, KD, you know, company HO, many international athletes. So let's show some love to all, Tony. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely. I've been waiting for something like this for a good while. You know, when Scott Atkinson was the editor of the magazine, you know, he did a fantastic job. I'm sure under the pressure from a lot of different sides. I mean, this magazine is supposed to cater to the whims of the nine sport disciplines that exist, you know, aside from tournament water skiing. You got barefooting, you got hydrofoiling, you got kneeboarding, barefooting, and ski racing.
There's a lot to cover, and I know one thing's for sure: you're not going to make everyone happy. But you just do the best you can. You know, it is what it is. We do four issues a year, and you know, you just try to put the best issue together with the, you know, with the resources that we have, and then, you know, sprinkle it around on social media and Instagram. You know, the water skier has an Instagram feed. There's also USA Water Ski as well. Covers a lot of, you know, different disciplines. So.
And of course, you've got the podcast as well. Tyler Boyd hosts that. You know, I mean, a little bit of love for him as well.
Yep. Shout out to Tyler Boyd.
Yeah, he's doing some good stuff with that, and
he's also on. He just got on the
Hall of Fame committee.
The Hall of Fame committee. So congrats to Tyler.
Yeah, indeed, and I'm sure he's going to do well with that role. I mean, he's as much a historian about this sport as you and I are, sir. You know, But producing the Water Skier magazine, you know, it's always a pretty tricky endeavor, you know, just trying to balance the content, you know, between the sports disciplines. But it's also the cost of actually putting together something like this on on a regular basis. You know, I mean, the cost have only gone up when it comes to putting a magazine like this together. And I mean, you've got to weigh in those facts, those things, you know, and how many pages of real estate you've got so far as a magazine issue is concerned. So kind of pull back the veil a little bit, if you could, you know, and kind of give us an idea of, you know, you're working on the next issue, which you've just told us is going to feature, well, first of all, a Canadian athlete in the form of Neely Ross. I mean, you've already set aside that, and you've also set aside world championship coverage. I noticed that little slugger with the photo next to Regina Jaquist sliding in just before number two buoy at the world championships. You said that the world championship coverage is going to feature in the next issue. I was actually looking up and down, and then I saw that slugger. I said, yes, a little bit of an Easter egg of sorts. And it probably will come out in Easter, if truth be told. But draw the veil back.
I should say is that I want to get away from the play-by-play tournament coverage, because obviously the issue comes sometimes way after the tournament, you know. So I think it's more so the focusing on the story within the story, you know, how they got to, you know, at that, whatever, you know, something extraordinary happened that, you know, right before or after the event, what was going on, what was going through their head, not the play-by-play of they did this amount of buoys, blah, 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 more personality, inspirational driven, you know, their views of the sport, where it's going, encouraging other people how they can, you know, it's a great way to get fit, right?
Yes, indeed.
If you're a water skier, chances are you are in better shape than the average human being out there, you know, because if you're doing this on a consistent basis, you're probably gonna want to be doing some other things too to help your health, your mobility. So I think it encourages the people that do ski. Most of them do some form of exercise on the side, whether that's, you know, biking or rowing, you know, strength training, you know, jumping rope. And you see like Thomas DeGasperi doing his boxing stuff, you know, and he had a, you know, great season. Look at his season last year or this year, 25, even the season before. Just he's been so consistent all these years. So, and that's because he takes care of his body.
Indeed. You know, and I see that you have some articles, Seth Stischer, towards the end of the magazine with the alignment advantage. Just breezing through some of that myself, but there definitely seems to be quite a noticeable shift in what the content is going to be like. You know, because I mean. I mean, tournament or competitive coverage between the sports disciplines is one thing, but I mean, if you can actually produce some content which is going to appeal to all, and you know, being able to be in good shape enough to be able to do this sport can, you know, leads into being in good shape to do some of the other sports as well. Is that kind of your direction going forward there?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's so inspiring. Is that so? I skied at the plus 35 worlds in Spain, mm-hmm. and just seeing people in their mid 70s, even 80s, jumping. You know, can you believe that? I mean, there's seeing a dude on the starting dock, and someone is helping him putting his bindings on so he can go over a ramp at that age. I mean, that is awesome.
That takes some next level bravery right there, I can tell you.
You know, when people say, "Oh, I used to love this," or "I used to do that," it's like, well, why'd you stop? You know.
There you go.
I congratulate, high five to those people out there still charging hard in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. You know, I think that's awesome, man. It's a state of mind.
Indeed, indeed. And you know a skier named Daniel Dobring? I'm sure the name comes up once or twice a year.
Daniel Dobringer, no.
Austrian jumper. He produced one of the best tournament performances of this past season at the European Championships. Off a 5-foot ramp, this guy jumped over 190 feet.
Wow, that's impressive. Daniel, I'm sorry I didn't recognize your name. Now I know. I'm going to be on the lookout for you.
Yeah, I mean, but it serves your point, you know. I mean, if you still got the capability to do it, then get on out there and get it done, you know. I mean, that's some inspiring stuff going forwards, you know. So
yeah, I mean, go ahead.
Okay, so let's continue on a little bit with the magazine, you know, because I mean, going back to my kind of original question, I mean, you've got like a clean sheet. You've already dedicated some real estate to a couple of decent articles, you know. Kind of. Do you have? I mean, I'm probably going a little bit deep here, but I mean, it's to serve a purpose, because I mean, you've only got so much real estate that you can use for an edition of a magazine at any given time. No, I mean the magazine's probably not quite as thick as it used to be.
It's rather thin. It's rather thin. It could definitely use some more girth. But that takes money. So would you like to make a donation today? Can I depend on you for $25K and I will beef up the next issue, Tony? Come on. Let's get TWC involved, maybe Dillinger Insurance.
Maybe you just have to reach out to Mike. You know, I'm pretty brassic so far as that is concerned. But I mean,
shout out to Mike Dillinger Howell, my training partner for a long time.
Yes, he's a indeed. Good dude. Don't monkey he's around with dude. Your insurance.
He knows how to have fun. And yeah. I told him, I said, Mike, we got to do a new video for TWBC, you know? And it's like, that was like four years ago when we did that for his website. I didn't even know it was going to be on TWBC.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. It's been doing the rounds, and it's been doing some good stuff internationally as well. I'm sure hope that Mike Dillinger is able to get some decent business for those that come on over, you know, and buy themselves a little jalopy, you know, and insure that, you know. So big shout out there for Mike Dillinger. But anyway,
back to the magazine.
Back to the magazine. So how much does
talk,
it cost?
You want to talk about that real estate? You can be a supporting member. It's $20 if you are in the U.S. We'll ship it to your mailbox, so you can get it digitally. $20. Mm-hmm. Support the cause. You know, and that'd be great. Unfortunately, if you're international, we don't ship, but across the seas of the world, but you can be a supporting member and get it digitally.
Yeah, so. I mean you can always get that magazine delivered that way. I mean, I'm sure that there are a lot of international skiers out there that have to get that membership, that active membership, in order to ski in the United States. And the thing about that membership is you're able to access the Water Skier magazine digitally. So which is always nice, you know. You can you've got yourself a little digital archive, you know, that you can make reference to. So I mean, anyway, so I don't know whether you just hinted at how much it actually cost to put the magazine together. I mean, you didn't mention
no, that was just the ball. I was just like, hey, send me $25K, Tony, and I'll do, you know, we'll add some girth to it.
Okay, so I mean, so you're kind of restricted to the pages that you have. Okay, so I mean, so
you know what, I just thought of something. You know, it'd be cool. Mm-hmm. So you do the magazine. It is what it is with the magazine, because, like, you know, those print costs, I think there's 14,000, you know, members out there, so those are going across the U.S. and then, but maybe on the digital side we could add to the digital products. That might be an idea. What do you think?
I'm thinking yes. I mean, it's definitely going to add more content to the magazine, put it that way. I mean, And I mean, we need more content. You know, I mean, half the reason why I do the podcast is to make sure that we get that there is some consistent content going out there, even in the off season. You know, I don't know whether you've listened to any of the podcasts that have been generated once a week for the last about 12
weeks. How long
have you
been doing this?
Been
cranking it away.
Yeah, almost 400 episodes right now.
There you go. Congratulations. You're doing your job to promote the sport. So kudos to you.
Do you feel? Do you kind of feel in the same way with the Water Skiing Magazine? You know, kind of like duty bound a little bit in that respect.
Yeah, I do. And that's how I felt at Water Ski Magazine too. So I really love the sport. At times I felt like the weight of the water ski world was on my shoulders, just bringing a man down. But I try my best just to stay positive and just do the best that I can, you know, just do the best you can. You know, life's not perfect. Just work hard on the issue and good things will happen.
Indeed, and I'm sure there are a lot of people out there across the world who certainly appreciate your efforts with the Water Skiing Magazine. So do you have anything on the boil? I mean you've alluded to the World Championship coverage. You've got Neely Ross coming in with the next episode. Is there anything else that we should be kind of like holding our breath for a little bit with the spring issue, which should come out about a month or two before the first pro tournaments of the season, at least here in the Northern Hemisphere with the Swiss pro tournaments?
I am working on a fitness story. You know, kind of off-season mindset, some of my recovery protocols, thinking outside the box. You know, no matter what discipline of the sport you enjoy, I think it'll benefit you. Yeah, just you got to keep moving. You know, avoid those ACL injuries and ankle fractures. I mean, even if you're in the best shape of your life, things still happen on the water. You know, we're moving at high velocities. You know, you crash, things happen. I've had many injuries along the way, fractured ankles. You know. Had broken bones, had back surgery in 2009.
Ooh.
Came back from that. So you can you know, there's going to be setbacks. There could be setbacks. Maybe you're super lucky and never get injured, but maybe that means you're not pushing it enough. You know, so you guys got to find that line, make it challenging, but just work on that, on safely progressing. You know when to push, know when to retreat. Listen to your body. And good things will happen. Are you listening to your body, Tony?
What is
your body telling you to do right now?
Yeah, I'm trying to. I mean, I'm two coffees deep right now, as a matter, so I'm not feeling much of anything right now. But
you know what I'm doing? I'm pacing up and down the lake right now.
Oh, you are?
I think I might go skiing today.
Yeah, why not? No, if it's in the low 80 degrees, you know, in Florida, the water's still pretty good. You know what I mean?
I think it's high. I think high 60s. I skinned it 3 days ago, and it wasn't bad at all.
Loop it off at 32 off and spin it to win it. You know, give that a go. You know.
Yeah, you know what I love to do in the Aussie is to free ski and my barefoot runs. I get those in.
I saw that in your latest Instagram.
Yeah, did you like that wig I was wearing?
Not so much.
No, why not?
I don't know.
Do you have a preference for brunettes? Because I was a blonde in that one.
Blonde just doesn't work with you, Todd. Seriously.
Maybe
ginger or something like that.
You like ginger, huh? Okay.
Only in a walk, I'm afraid. But there you go.
I'm gonna go dye my hair for Christmas Day. We're doing this.
Get up it. Indeed. So I think before this gets completely crazy and completely out of hand, we'll wrap it up around about here. So once again, thanks to you once again, Todd Ristacelli.
Thank you, sir.
It is Ristacelli, isn't it? I don't know whether I've been...
You can pronounce it Ristorcelli or Ristorcelli. What do you like?
I do like Italian, put it that way. Yeah. You are an Italian-American, aren't you, certainly?
So my father was born in South America, and his father, South America, but great-grandparents, Corsica.
Ooh, yeah. There you go.
Corsica. Cagliari. And then supposedly an Italian married into the family. It was Ristor, and then added the Celli, or the Celli. So,
there we go.
Who knows? You ever been to Corsica?
No, not Corsica, but you know, know me well enough to know that I've been to the nation of Italy on quite a few occasions with San Gervasio and what have you, and other venues. Yeah. So even in my most formative years, I actually skied over in Sicily. In a nice little natural lake there. So I mean, do you get over to the old country a lot? You know,
I was there last summer for the San Gervasio Pro Am. Had a lovely time.
I remember that with
my girlfriend and her son, and then my youngest daughter, Callie. So yeah, we had a blast. We went to Switzerland, St. Moritz for a couple of days, Austria a little bit, Italy, and then we went to northern Germany for my girlfriend's nationals. So that was fun. Lots of traveling at high speeds. I love driving in Germany. The Autobahn, mm-hmm. So much fun.
I'm normally someone that takes the train across country. You know, whether it'll be the Freche Rosse or the high speed train in Germany or wherever else you happen to be. You know, but I mean, obviously. No, one thing that I like about traveling from a personal level is how enriching the experience is. You know, you get to interact with other cultures and what have you, and mm-hmm. be in certain situations. And, when you arrive back home, you kind of feel that there's a little bit missing. You wanted to take something back from your travels. You know, have you kind of felt that a little bit, you know, whether it'll be... I don't know, a cultural experience or even an ingredient that you can't find in Publix or what have you.
Yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of travel, is that you get to experience the culture, try some different foods. You know, I'm a big fan of mountains. I like big mountains, you know, makes me feel small. I need to be humble, Tony, you know. Anyway...
Humble is not a word that I would readily attribute to you, sir.
Damn it, Tony, I'm a humble champion, all right? I am a humble champion. You will respect my authority. Don't make me write about you in the water skier.
Yep. From Italy to down home Missouri in one split second. I love it. Absolutely. All right, then. So you still there, Todd? All right, then. So that is Todd Ristacelli. That concludes this edition of the TWBC podcast. Thanks a lot once again. And until next time, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.